God and Father, thank you for this time that we have this morning. Lord, thank you for the work you have done and are continuing to do through the Grace Baptist Church family. Lord, I pray that you would be working in us again this morning, that we might go out and continue to carry the good news of Christ to the world around us, serving them and serving you. Lord, I pray that you would be with Dan as he brings your word this morning, and as well as he and Barb continue the work of ministry. Lord, we are truly blessed to have them here. We are celebrating their work as well as your work in us and in them. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy anniversary, Grace Baptist. 150 years of God's faithfulness. Now, I know some of you remember when the ground was broken on that first black and white building. I was thinking maybe we should meet at Sheetz this morning because that was the location. I don't know. Maybe that would be a good idea. No. But God has truly been working in those 150 years. If we look back over the past, God has been doing great things. I'm looking forward to next week when we get a little moment after the service to look back at the 150 years that God has been working in and through us, and looking forward to what he might be doing in future years as well. This is a big moment. What do you even get somebody for 150th anniversary? I don't even know. Like, is that like three gold things? I don't know. What is it at 50? Yeah. But we are truly delighted because the legacy of those 150 years, part of that includes the ministry that's being carried out in the Dominican. I shared this in Sunday school that Dan and Barb Woodring, they're our special guests this morning, they serve in the Dominican because Dan's parents, Ben and Esther Woodring, served as missionaries. Well, Ben serves as missionary because a little tiny church had a vacation Bible school one summer to which he came, heard about the good news of Jesus Christ, and gave his life to Christ, recognized his lordship. That little church was Grace Baptist Church. And because of something that that little tiny church did that long ago, he is now part of a movement that is planting churches in another country. So we have a little sliver of blessing from what that has done, what God has been doing through the Woodring family for generations now, and is continuing to do. So we are looking forward to hearing from Dan. And is Barb coming? I know you don't like speaking in front of people, so I'm not going to put any pressure. She's going to be speaking vicariously through him, as every good wife should. No, I'm just kidding. My wife is in the room. She told me to say it. No. But it is truly a blessing to hear from them, to have them here. Despite the situations, we wouldn't want it this way. But you know what? It is good. It is going to be a blessing to me, if nobody else, to be able to hear from my brother, from another mother, the word of God preached. And I do hope that it is a good challenge to you. Before he even gets up, I want to present a small challenge to remember who your one is that we talked about at the beginning of this year. You can be the missionary to them that Dan is to many, many people in Dominican. Your one. Don't forget your one. Keep focusing on that and sharing the gospel with them. Dan, would you come and share with us what the Lord has laid on your heart?
Thank you, brother. Is this on? Okay. Everybody can hear me okay? Well, before I start, Victoria, I just want to let you know how much my wife appreciated you picking that song. My wife started listening to Christmas music back in September. And if we weren't here right now, our house would already be decorated for Christmas. And she's already told me that as soon as we get back tomorrow afternoon, I'm supposed to get the Christmas stuff out. So, my wife loves Christmas, if you can't tell. Well, this morning, it is a real pleasure and a privilege to be able to be here with you. And we appreciate everything that faith has done and how faith has been, I'm sorry, grace has been a huge part of our family and ministry throughout the years, and not just with prayer and support, but I see many faces that have been with us in the Dominican Republic, working and getting dirty and doing physical labor, working on the church and the school and different things. And so we just appreciate you. And I know this is a special Sunday for you as a church, a special week. And for me, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to participate in that. It's a special Sunday, not just for your church, 150 years. You guys don't look that old. You've aged well. You really have. But it's also a week where we also remember something that is very important for the history of the church, and that is Reformation Sunday, the Sunday where that very important document, the thesis that Martin Luther posted on the doors of the church, and a big transformation, a big movement that impacted the history of the church and really moved the church, or at least the Protestant church, the evangelical church, away from a relationship with a church to a focus on a personal relationship with God and with His Word. And so this morning, the passage that we're going to be looking at and the message that I'm going to be preaching, I believe you will find that it will tie in very well to both the anniversary that you celebrate as a church, what the Lord has done over the last 150 years, and if the Lord tarries, what He will do for the next 150 years with you as a church, but also remembering the individual focus of the relationship with God, with His Word, and the work of the Holy Spirit in each of us as individual Christians. But before I go into that, okay, here we go. Is my PowerPoint up? Doesn't seem to be going anywhere. There we go.
You'll just have to let us know.
Apparently
that's not
game friendly. Okay. Well, we'll do our best with that. I'll try to do some type of motion that you can follow along with. But first of all, I want to share a story with you. When I was a young man, I think I was probably 8 or 9, I was with some friends playing down by the river, and I saw a little tiny tree, and I thought, you know what, I would love to take that tree home and plant it in our front yard. And so I dug that tree up, and I put it in our front yard, and I was so proud of this tree that I had planted in our front yard. And about a week after I had planted it, Dad had somebody working on our yard, and they ran over it with a lawnmower. And I was so sad, so brokenhearted. My tree, my special tree, was just destroyed, killed. But about a week or so later, it started coming back to life and started sprouting again and started to grow again. I was like, oh, great. I was excited that my tree was growing again. And then we were in the process of pouring concrete in a parking area in front of our house. And so the truck that was bringing in the gravel for that concrete that we were going to pour poured the gravel right on top of my tree. And I was like, oh, that's it. The tree's dead. It's gone. It's gone forever. Well, sure enough, as we started to shovel the gravel away little by little, somehow the little tree revived and it continued to grow. Well, this tree was a tropical almond tree. And actually, you can see the picture of that tree in front of the house that was the house that I grew up in the Dominican Republic. Now it's a huge, beautiful tree. However, there were some characteristics about the almond tree, the tropical almond tree, that as a child I wasn't aware of, and I didn't take into consideration when I planted that little tree in the front of the yard, and that is that the tropical almond tree is like having fall year-round. It is one of the dirtiest trees that you can have. It is constantly replenishing its leaves, constantly dropping leaves, constantly dropping almonds, constantly dropping flowers. I mean, it is a mess. The yard is always a mess. And the problem is the tree is in the front part of the yard. And so when the wind blows, it doesn't only make a mess in our yard, it blows into the neighbor's yards. And I can remember our neighbor lady sweeping up the trees in the yard, cursing the tree because it always made a mess of her yard. If I had known the characteristics and maybe at that age understood the problems that it was going to cause us and cause our neighbors because of the mess, maybe I would not have planted that tree. And you can get upset with the tree. You can curse the tree like the neighbor lady did. But you really can't blame the tree. Why? Because it's in its DNA. It's how that tree was created. It is a tropical almond tree. God designed it to be that way. God designed it as a dirty tree, as a tree that constantly sheds its leaves, that constantly sheds its flowers, that's constantly dropping almonds all over the yard. These characteristics, these very specific traits, are part of its DNA. It's the way that God designed it. I want to look at the definition of DNA. DNA is a molecule that contains the instructions of an organism needs to develop, live, and reproduce. These instructions are found inside every cell and are passed down from the parents to the offspring. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45, if we can go to the next slide, thank you. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45, and my message is entitled, What's in Your DNA? Now, this may seem like a strange title, and this may seem like a strange message for a missionary to be preaching, but I believe as we get into the passage, you will be able to understand. But the first thing, let's read this passage, and then I would like to have a word of prayer. So if you could go with me to Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. First thing that I'd like to look at is the fact that mankind is like a fruit tree. That's what these verses are telling us. They're comparing us to a fruit tree. Again, verse 43 says, For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Jesus here is not talking about the tropical almond tree. Yes, he's using a tree as an illustration, but he's really talking about man. He's speaking about us. And how does he compare us to a fruit tree? Well, he says they both produce fruit according to their DNA. Now, Jesus didn't mention DNA, but I believe the concept that we see here, just as the almond tree, the DNA, what it's made out of, its foundation, the instructions that it was created with, what controls its characteristics, its DNA determines what type of tree it is. And it's the same way with us. If I want a mango tree, I don't go to an avocado tree. If I want a mango, I don't go to an avocado tree. If I want a pineapple, I don't go to a banana tree. And yes, I'm listing all of the wonderful tropical fruits that we have in the Dominican Republic. And if you want fresh pineapple, fresh mangoes, fresh bananas, come visit us. The things that you buy at Walmart and Giant and Not the real thing. Well, it is the real thing, but trust me, until you've had it there. But the fact is, if I want a specific fruit, I know what tree, and we have several of these types of trees in our yards. I know if I want a mango, a really good mango, I know which tree in our yard to go to get that mango. Why? Because the instructions that are written within that tree tells it what to produce. The type of fruit that a plant will produce is determined by its DNA. And just like the fruit trees, our fruit is determined by our DNA. The words that we speak, our attitudes, our actions, they are determined not by our physical DNA, but by our spiritual DNA. Remember the definition of DNA that we saw in the introduction? It states that our DNA is determined by our parents. Whoever our parents are physically determine our physical DNA. And in the same way, our spiritual DNA is determined by who our father is. If we are truly children of God and His Holy Spirit lives in our hearts and in our lives, then the fruit that comes out of us should reflect who? Our Father. If God truly is my Father, then the fruit that people see in my life should remind them of my Heavenly Father. According to Galatians chapter 5, our lives should be marked by the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." If my spiritual DNA is that of a child of God, then these things automatically should be reflected in my life. But in contrast, we are also given the list of the fruits of the flesh, or of those that are not born of the Spirit, of those whose father is the god of this world, or Satan. Those who bear Satan's DNA, those who bear the DNA of the god of this world, we see the attributes in their lives listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. And it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Why will these people who do these things, according to Galatians chapter 5, not inherit the kingdom of God? Because their father is not God. Their father is the god of this world, Satan. They have his DNA. They reflect his DNA. They are trees that produce fruit according to their DNA. We are all born with the DNA of the flesh. Every single one of us is born with this evil, wicked, worldly, selfish, sinful DNA. That is our natural state as children of the God of this world, when we are born with a sinful nature. However, Scripture teaches us that the Holy Spirit transforms the spiritual DNA of the believer. The Holy Spirit transforms the spiritual DNA of the believer. What distinguishes a heart committed to the fruits of the flesh and a heart committed to the fruits of the Spirit is the presence of the Spirit of God in the individual. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 6 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Those who have the Spirit of God in them, those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 that they are spiritually minded, that they reflect the fruits of the Spirit in their actions, in their thoughts, in their behavior, in their words. One of the main works of the Holy Spirit is to transform us into new creations, like Pastor Aaron mentioned earlier. To change our spiritual nature, to transform our spiritual DNA, to change our spiritual DNA from a DNA that reflects the works of the God of this world, Satan, to the DNA that reflects the Holy Spirit that lives in us as children of God, our Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." A new creation, a new creature, a new person. That is the picture of that spiritual DNA being completely transformed, completely changed from somebody who reflects the image of the God of this world to somebody who now reflects the image of the God of heaven. Transformed, renewed, changed. And according to verse 44, the fruit is the evidence of this transformed life. The fruit is the evidence of this transformed life. Let's go look at verse 44 real quickly, please. "For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush." We should see continual evidence of this transformation. If I am a child of God, if I have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in my life, every person that knows me should be able to see that change in my life. Now, that change isn't always immediate, isn't always from night to day. That change is often gradual. A new believer will usually not lose every carnal desire simply because they came to Christ. It's a process. But as a child of God who has or contains the spiritual DNA, which I would say the spiritual DNA is the Holy Spirit living in us, living in me. And if the Spirit of God is living in me, then there will be changes in my life. And the way that those changes are reflected, according to verse 44, is through the fruit in my life. If I am still displaying the fruits of the flesh, if I am still displaying the fruits of the sinful nature, then there is no evidence, according to Jesus in verse 44, that I am a child of God. Because I am still displaying and reflecting the fruits of my previous father, the God of this world, the sinful flesh. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're changed. We're transformed. We're a new creation. We have a new DNA. We have the Spirit of God living in us that changes us. And if I have been a Christian for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and that transformation has not happened, something's wrong. And here we see in verse 44 that the lack of good fruit puts in doubt the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of an individual. The next slide, please. The lack of fruit, of good fruit, puts in doubt the work of the Holy Spirit. A person who claims to be a child of God, who is not experiencing this transformation in his or her life, is putting in doubt whether or not that transformation ever happened. Whether or not that person truly has God's DNA, the Holy Spirit, living in them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And I would say, he who says he's a Christian, but the fruit of the Spirit is not reflected in their lives, and they are not reflecting the image of their Heavenly Father in their lives, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Unfortunately, there are many people who believe that simply because they repeated a prayer or because they've been attending church their entire lives, that they're saved. But if after some time there is no evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, I believe that it is quite likely that they were simply words. That they truly never were saved. Friend, I'm not here as a fruit inspector. I'm not here to look into each one of your lives and determine who is and who isn't. That's not why I'm here. But I encourage you to inspect your own fruit. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God. What fruit has my life produced? What transformation has the Holy Spirit made in my life? Am I growing in my relationship with God? Or have I remained stagnant for the last 10, 15, 20 years? See, because verse 45 tells us that bearing fruit is a natural process. Next slide, please. Bearing fruit is a natural process. Let's look at verse 45. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. A child of God should not need to be coerced into bearing good fruit. The next slide. A child of God should not need to be coerced in order to bear fruit. Your pastor should not need to stand at the pulpit begging you and pleading with you to display the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You shouldn't have to do that. Nobody should have to remind you that your neighbors are in desperate need of the gospel of Jesus Christ and are headed into a godless eternity. A missionary should not have to come and persuade you of the great needs in Christ's harvest fields around the world. As a child of God, as one who is in possession of His Holy Spirit, of one whose spiritual DNA has been transformed and renewed, each one of our lives should be so saturated with the fruit of the Spirit that it naturally overflows. We should be producing so much fruit that everyone around us gets to enjoy that fruit. In the Dominican Republic, it is the law that if a tree from a neighbor's property has branches that cross over into your yard, that fruit belongs to you. And so we have a big mango tree in the next yard that whose branches come over into our tree, and those mangoes belong to us. However, they're not as good as our mangoes, so I end up just tossing them over the wall. Unfortunately, the leaves belong to us too. But I think that's a perfect image of somebody who's overflowing with fruit, that it blesses the neighbors. See, it's a natural process. As we saw in verse 44, it is the overflowing of that abundance of fruit in the heart of the believer that identifies us, that distinguishes us from what Jesus calls in verse 45, evil men. What Jesus is saying here, listen, what Jesus is saying here, you are either bearing fruit or you're an evil man. Wow. Wow. That's harsh, isn't it? It's hard to take. But that's what Jesus is saying. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 and 34 says, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Who was Jesus speaking to? He was speaking to religious leaders. He was speaking to religious people who put on a front as being righteous and being spiritual. But what does he call them? Vipers. Why? Because their fruit was rotten. So either make the true good and produce good fruit, or you're just an evil, rotten tree. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here in Luke chapter 6 in verse 45. You're either bearing fruit or you're an evil man. Evil men, next slide please. Evil men are incapable of producing good fruit. If this morning you recognize that there is no spiritual fruit in your life, I encourage you to ask yourself the following question. Is there a lack of fruit in my life because I'm an evil man? And I still have the carnal DNA of the flesh that I was born with? Or is there something in my life as a child of God that is hindering the fruit in my life? Both situations are problematic, but the solutions are different. Next slide, please. Which brings me back to another tree in our yard. The big tree in the background is that mango tree that I told you about, that the leaves and the fruit hang over into our yard and fall into our yard. But the tree that's in the foreground, and this is the house that we just bought in the Dominican Republic, is an avocado tree. But if you take a good look, the tree is barren. This is in the middle of avocado season, where it should be full of leaves and full of avocados. But there's something wrong with this tree. When we first bought the house and we moved in, it started flowering. And we're thinking, oh great, we're going to enjoy really good avocados. And it started sprouting little avocados. But before they could get anywhere close to maturity, they all fell off and all the leaves fell off. There's something wrong with this tree. Now, we're still trying to determine Is there something that's hindering the fruit production? Is there something that we can do to fix this good tree so that we can get good avocados? Or is it just a bad tree that needs cut down? You know, it's the same in our lives. If we're not producing fruit, we're either a bad tree that can't produce fruit, or we are a child of God, but there's sin and things in our lives that we have allowed to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and to keep us from being able to produce fruit. Not producing fruit is a problem. If we're a child of God, that's a problem. And we need to determine if it's just that we're a bad tree or a good tree that's being hindered. To fix the lack of fruit issue in our own lives, we need to do the same thing as we're trying to do with this avocado tree. Get to the bottom of it. Understand what the root problem is. And for us, there's one or two options. Either it's because we still have the carnal DNA, we're still children of the worldly father, still under control of the flesh. And if that's the case, the answer is very simple. Give our lives to Jesus. Accept the good news of the gospel and place our faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And maybe there's somebody here this morning that recognizes that that's the position that they're in. They've never truly given their lives to Christ. They still have the worldly DNA. They are still in the sinful flesh in which they are born. And if that's the case, I invite you this morning, please, please accept Christ as your Savior. Place your faith in Him and in Him alone for your salvation. And you will get to experience what Jesus is talking about in these verses of having your life renewed and the Spirit of God working in your life to transform you and to transform your DNA and produce fruit in your life. But maybe your problem is that as a child of God, you have allowed sin and selfishness in your life to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. And if that's the case, the answer is also very simple. Repent. Turn back to Him. Confess your sins. If we are not bearing spiritual fruit, if we're not bearing good fruit, it's one of those two problems. And I encourage you this morning, if you find yourself in that situation, as you ask yourself those questions that I challenged you to ask, and you recognize that there's no fruit in your life, you need to determine which of those is, and you need to take action. As I conclude this message, you might think to yourself, this is a strange message for a missionary to be preaching. What does this have to do with missions and with the Great Commission? But in reality, this has everything to do with the Great Commission. The Great Commission is all about bearing fruit. You can be the most convincing person and the best speaker that has ever walked on the planet, but without the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life and producing His fruit, all of your efforts are useless. All of your work will amount to nothing in light of eternity. Missions begins and ends with your spiritual DNA. The Great Commission is fulfilled as others are drawn to your message because of the fruit that they see in your life. So this morning, I would like to challenge each of you, and I would like to challenge you as a church for the next 100, 150, 200 years if the Lord tarries. If you truly are a child of God and you want Him to use you to impact your family, your church, your community, your city, your state, your country, your world. It begins by examining your fruit. According to the fruit produced in your life, what's in your DNA? Does your life reflect the DNA of the God of this world or that of your Heavenly Father? If it doesn't reflect the DNA of our Heavenly Father, then either you're not a child of God or you've allowed sin to take over your life. And in either of those cases, what steps will you take to remove that which is hindering the fruit in your life? Without good fruit, a good tree cannot reproduce good fruit. It is in the fruit that the seed is found, right? If we're not producing good fruit, we're not going to reproduce. We're not going to reproduce as a church. We're not going to reproduce as individuals, as Pastor Aaron mentioned. The one?
Who's your one?
Who's your one? If you're not producing good fruit, you can talk all you want. You can invite all you want. You're not going to reproduce. It begins with your fruit. Without good fruit, the Great Commission is impossible. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this challenge. I thank you for this church. I thank you for 150 years of faithfulness. I thank you for each individual that is here this morning. And I know that there are many in this congregation that have been bearing fruit for years. But I also know that, as it is with every single congregation, there are those that are not. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be speaking to each and every one of our hearts, that we would honestly inspect the fruit of our lives, and that you would show us the steps that we need to take. If there's somebody here who recognizes that they don't know you, that they haven't accepted you, that they haven't given their life over to you, I pray, Lord, that today would be the day. And if there's somebody who recognizes, I am a born-again believer, I have placed my faith and trust in Christ, but I've allowed sin in my life to hinder the fruit, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would also reveal to them the steps that they need to make to remove that which is hindering their fruit. Lord, I pray that this would be a fruitful church, a fruitful ministry, where all those around them would be impacted by their fruit, would be drawn by their fruit, not just of what happens here in this building, but in the lives of every one of their members as they're involved in their school, in their workplace, in their neighborhood, in their community, that people would be drawn by the good fruit produced by the good trees that make up this body, Grace Baptist Church of Tyrone. All this we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you can't be saying amen, you best be saying ouch to that one. Thank you for stepping on our toes. We need it. I need it. And don't walk away from here today, because this is exactly what's going to happen. You're going to see a few things in your life and go, I'm fine. Let this be the impetus that God has to push you towards more growth, more fruit, better. Okay, we talked about that last week. More isn't always better. Better is better. Maybe we need to start producing better fruit. Maybe that's what God is calling us up to. Paul says in Ephesians 4:17, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." In other words, don't be like the evil men. "They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." Hey, there's the fruit of the flesh right there. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught him as the truth is in Jesus. Get this, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, new DNA, created after the likeness of God in the true and true righteousness and holiness. We were made to be his image bearers. Let's do that well, not just this week, but throughout our lives. The Dominican is a mission field, but so is Tyrone, Bellwood, Tipton, everywhere that you are. That's why God has called you to it, to be the new self and to reproduce others just like you who bear the image of Christ. Next week is going to be a big celebration. I'm excited for it. I hope to see you there. If you did not sign up but you want to come, please let me know. The sign-ups closed last week, but we do have a little wiggle room with a caterer, so please let me know, and I'd be more than happy. Would you all just give a round of applause, just not for the preaching, that's not why he did it, but just to say to Dan and Barb, we support you, and we're with you in this. I'm going to challenge you, as I did in Sunday school, to consider how you might support them. We support them as a church, but also individually. They are there not because Dan is working a six-figure job or because Barb teaches. They do those things because of their mission field and because people just like you said, you know what, I believe God is doing something through you. I want to be a part of it. Here's my support. And one of the things that we can do is actually support teachers. Dan didn't bring this up in the message. Support teachers of the Christian school there in Hakagawa. That they are in need of financial support. 2020 was hard on them too. And it's been hard even before 2020. So prayerfully consider how God might be using you. And it doesn't take much. Every little bit helps. We're actually talking, one of the elders came up, Rob came up to me before the service started. He's like, maybe we could get a group of people together that could like raise support. So God's doing something. Do we want to be part of it or not? All right? Let's close in a word of prayer. God and Father, thank you so much for Dan. Thank you for Barb. Thank you for Noah and Natalia and the entire Woodring family and what you are doing through them. God, I pray that your blessings would continue to flow over them, that they would continue to bear fruit, that as we have seen lives transformed, we have seen souls saved and brought to you, Lord, I pray that we would continue to see that we would continue to see churches planted, that we would continue to see that fruit of a life lived for you, not only in the Dominican, but here in our town too, in our country, in our community. Lord, be with Dan and Barb as they are continuing to travel and doing work with the visas and everything else. Lord, I pray that the government in the Dominican would be quick to fulfill their word, that they would work out this whole issue. Lord, I just ask that what Dan has shared with us would lay heavy on our hearts, that while he doesn't inspect the fruit, we would, that we would examine ourselves to see if we are in you, if we have that new DNA spiritually, that we are living a life in the Holy Spirit. Be with us as we go. Let us walk away transformed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen.